Blind Cool Tech, number 64, July 31st, 05. Hey y'all, how is everybody? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. It's Sunday morning here in Louisville, Kentucky. Early, you can hear the crickets. It's probably around 5 a.m. And you may ask, what is this fool doing up at 5 a.m. on a Sunday morning? And I ask the same. Now, we've got a good show for you this morning. Have some emails to answer, some voicemail, and a great presentation by Dick Wamser about Wind Catalog Light. So let's get right into it. First of all, let's go through the email. Scott asked a couple of good questions about Audible and Bookport from our presentation on Friday. And one of the things he wanted to know was, what other devices can you play Audible content on? And the answer is, Audible usually actually gives you a free or a very reduced price on a player when you sign up for their service. I know back when I signed up a few years ago, they provided a device called an Otis player. It was a very small, compact little device, and it was pretty easy to get the content to it. If I remember correctly, though, it only had 64 megs of RAM, so it was very rare that you could get the whole book on the device at one time. Rest. I've got the boys laying here, and we haven't ate this morning yet, have we, boys? So they're looking at me with great interest. So you may hear them making noises like, yeah, and all that stuff. Also, you can play Audible content on Windows Media Player right on your desktop. You have to download a Media Player plugin, which, if I remember correctly, is available right from the Audible site somewhere. As you saw from that presentation on Friday, that is a very busy site. You can also play it on, there's a whole list of approved devices. I know the iPod is one of them. In the blindness arena, the Book Courier and the Bookport both support Audible content, and I believe the PacMate and maybe even the Braille Note. I'm not entirely sure about the Braille Note. If I'm wrong about that, one of you, please do let me know. The other question Scott had was, you know, how do you remember the most common commands on the Bookport? And, you know, how do you begin going about learning it? And that's a good question, because there are a lot of commands. And there's a train. And the answer to that is, to begin learning just the basic reading commands first. And we did do a tutorial about this. I believe it was the very first Blind Cool Tech, in fact. But I'll go over some of the basics right here just to keep you from having to go through all that, because there was quite a bit more covered in that first tutorial. And that is that, as you know, the keypad is arranged like a telephone keypad with two additional rows of keys, a row with ABC and a row with DEF on it below the keypad, the telephone keypad. And we've arranged the navigation commands so that the first three commands, the first three keys going down the left side and the right side, in other words, the 1, the 4, and the 7 are your move backwards, and the 3, the 6, and the 9 are your move forward commands. And they work a little differently depending on whether you're reading or playing. So let's reading or idle. So let's assume, for the sake of discussion first, that we're in idle mode and we're looking at a text file, or a file that contains text. Well, the 1 and the 3 do the same in either mode. They'll go backward and forward by sentence or line, depending on how you have the send as line-oriented option in the options dialog set. The next keys down, as you're going down the keypad, the left side and the right side, are your word commands. So the 4 moves back a word, 6 moves forward a word, and then 7 and 9 are your letter commands. So you can move through letter by letter. Now, once you press play and the device is in reading mode, it doesn't make a lot of sense to have word and letter commands anymore, because you're kind of shooting at a moving target. So what happens is the second row, the 4 and the 6, become paragraph commands. So they'll move you back and forward by paragraphs as you're reading. And then the 7 and 9 become page keys. So they'll move you back and forward by pages, or an approximation of pages if there are no page markers in the file. So that's your basic, very, getting started. And also, just to let you know, the next set of keys down, the star and the pound, those are actually commands to navigate from file to file within the file structure that's on the card in the book port. So the star will move you back to the previous file, and the pound will move you forward to the next file. And, I would recommend you get started with those, and as you need more commands, maybe the first thing you'll want to read is the Bookport User's Manual, or listen to some of the training podcasts that we've done for the Bookport. Okay, another email from Ann is having a little trouble getting the recording to work on her computer. Maybe she wants to start a podcast too, and that'd be great. I hope you do, Ann. There's several things to check. Obviously, we're going to assume that you've got a working microphone plugged into the microphone jack on your sound card. Well, the first thing to do is go into the control panel and check to make sure that you've actually got Windows set to record from the microphone in, from the mic line. And there's various ways to get there. I'll tell you the most straightforward, which is to hit Windows R to get your run dialog, and type SNDVOL32. That'll get you straight to where you need to be. Now, by default, the sound volume control, dialog control, only shows you the playback devices. So the first thing you'll want to do is press your Alt key, which will open up, I'm not even sure what that menu is called. It's not File. Well, whatever it is, though, press one up arrow and there'll be an options dialog, options menu item. You press enter and it'll open up the options dialog. And the first tab you press will be Show Volume 4, and then there'll be a radio button. This might be the second one. It's either the first one or the second one. So it says Show Volume for Playback Devices. Well, you want to hit a right arrow and say Show Volume for Recording Devices. Then tab to the next control and make sure that there's a list box there showing you which devices it's going to show you, and make sure your microphone is listed, your microphone in is listed in those in that list and is checked. So then go ahead and press enter. Now your main screen changes from all the playback controls to all the recording controls. And you want to tab through and make sure you have the microphone selected and that your volume is set to an appropriate level. You might want to start out in the middle and go up or down from there just to make sure that you know which is full volume and which is lower. In most cases, it's going to take, you know, 80% or better. You have to have the volume set fairly high on this. Oh man, don't bark, you dummy over there. It's too early in the morning. Now, the next thing is there may be an advanced button right after the volume on the microphone setting. Actually, first try this, and you can just leave this open. Once you set that, you don't have to close this or anything. Just Alt-Tab back over to your recording program and try recording right then and there. If that doesn't work or your volume's too low, Alt-Tab back over to the sound volume dialog. You know, bump up your mic volume, try it again to make sure it did it, and if it's still too low, you can go into the advanced button, and this is also dependent on which sound card you have, so this won't be the same for every one of them. Go into there, and there's a checkbox, and man, I cannot remember the wording for it exactly. It might be provide supplemental power. And you might try checking that box and then telling it okay, of course. Then, you know, Alt-Tab back to your recording program and try making a test recording with that set. Okay, if that doesn't help, or if any of you listeners have other suggestions to troubleshoot microphone issues, please do let us know. All right, we're going to get right into Dick Wamser's review of Wind Catalog Lite. Take it away, Dick.
Hello, everyone. This is Dick Wamser speaking from Roseburg, Oregon. And this afternoon, I'd like to show you a program that I bought last November, which I think is a fantastic program. It's called Wind Catalog Lite. And the website is www.wincatalog.com. And as you can probably guess by part of what the program is called, the reason for the program is to catalog material, CDs, audio CDs, data CDs, even program CDs if you'd like to, MP3 CDs, MP3 DVDs, floppy disks, your hard drive, anything that's remotely related to a hard drive as far as your computer is concerned, memory sticks, flash cards, whatever it is, this program will catalog it. There are three problems with most Windows programs that you buy today. The first problem is that you have to have a learning curve in order to know how to use the program. Second problem is that in many cases this learning curve is made much worse because your speech program doesn't work very well with what you're trying to learn. And the third problem is that these programs can get very expensive. Well, in the case of Wind Catalog Lite, that's not the case. The program worked very, very well with speech. It was easy to learn because it kept all the Windows conventions in mind. One reason it worked well with speech, too, of course. And the Wind Catalog Lite program is only $24, so most people can afford that. If you want to get fancy and get a better program, there's another one called Wind Catalog Standard, and that's only $32, so they're very good. The only difference in the two programs of note is that in the Wind Catalog Standard program, you can also catalog keyboard material. In other words, if you want to catalog stamp collections, that's what they use as an example on the website. In my case, I keep a Windows Microsoft Access program where, among other things, I write down the date and what I sent to somebody snail mail-wise and who I sent it to, so I can keep track of when I sent the mail out. In case it doesn't get to where it's going, I can kind of look into that, see why that's happening. You could do the same thing with Win Catalog Standard and not have to have another program running if you don't want to learn Microsoft Access. So those are the two basic differences. Before we get into the program, I have a couple of preliminary comments to make. The website, as you'll see when you visit, is very speech-friendly. It works extremely well. Email support is fantastic. You couldn't ask for better email support than what you're getting. It was very disconcerting the first time I asked a question because I got this automated response. We got your email. We'll get back to you as soon as we can, which, you know, makes you think they may never get back to you. But actually, just to give you an example, I got the program in November of 2004, and what you do is download the copy as a demo, and if you want to buy the program after you've tried it, you go on the website and buy the program normally with a credit card. They send you a validation code in the email. You take that validation code, which for some reason I could not copy to the clipboard and paste into the program. I had to do it by hand. You type it into the program in the right place, and then the program goes online and validates that code. When I typed it in, I missed a number. It's like a 15 or 16 digit code. And the program itself accepted that number because it was legitimate code. However, when I went online to validate that code, it wouldn't accept it because that code belonged to some other purchaser. So I had to email them and explain what happened, and they emailed me the code again, and I got it right the second time. About a month later, my hard drive crashed, and I lost all kinds of data, including that code. So I had to ask them for it again, and they got it again. So they're very good about emailing. This works very well with either JAWS or WindowEyes, and so it doesn't matter which of the two programs you have. I'm using WindowEyes. I like it better most of the time, mainly because in this case it doesn't echo all your keystrokes to drive you crazy, and also because we're using DeckTalk Access 32, which I thought maybe most people would appreciate having to hear. So we're going to launch the program now, and we'll describe things as we go along. The program itself, I'm not going to get into too many basic operations as much as I'm going to get into how you can alter some of these basic operations to fit your particular situation, and you'll understand more about that when I get to it. All right, so let's launch the program now, and we'll go to my desktop with the shortcut key to the desktop.
Desktop, list view, win catalog light, 19 of 20.
Okay, and press enter on that.
Books.wcl win catalog light, preview, my collection, expanded, 34 items, depth 1.
Now, it shows you a number of different things. There are 34 items in this particular catalog. This is a book catalog, which is kind of a generic term. They're talking books. They're digital, not digital books, but audio books. And there are also some books for, not books, but manuals for different products that I have bought in the past here and there. So it's kind of a generic situation. But the thing I wanted to tell you is just instead of having to spend time doing all of this, this is the typical file menu like you'd have in Microsoft Word or any other program. If you open up the file menu and down arrow, it keeps track of the last four items that you have utilized, so you can just go to anything that you like by just reviewing what you had worked with in the past. If I press Control O here,
my collection, expanded, 34 items, edit box, and file name, dialog, open.
And I'll type in OTR. Nobody has any OTR around here, so we'll do
O-T-R.
That. Press enter.
Otter.wcl in catalog light, preview, my collection, expanded. 92 items, depth 1.
Okay, so now the next thing to consider is the fact that you have a WCL extension on your file names. This is a 92 item catalog. Several of these are DVDs, by the way, and that will still fit on a floppy disk. Now you're in a tree view just like you'd be in Windows Explorer, so you use it just like you would use it Windows Explorer. I personally like the Windows Explorer tree view better in this particular program. I like the list view better normally. I just checked my recording to make sure we're still cooking here, so I'm going to Alt-Tab over to the catalog program again.
Otter.wcl in catalog light. Preview 00032500442 of 92.
Now the reason
depth
I say
two.
That is because you're in the first program in the CD, actually the second one, it said 2 of 92, so you're in the second one. If you type a letter,
G, Gildersleeve, closed, 35. Of 92.
You jump to a CD with that first letter in the title of the CD. If you're in your tree view, I'm sorry, in your list view, and you sometimes type a letter, you're going to go to a particular catalog item in that CD that you happen to be on instead of into the actual CD list. So it's somewhat confusing to be in a tree view, but if you get into the list view to end the confusion, you're still confused because you're getting the wrong information. Let's go back up to the top with the home key. I'm going to show you something here.
Gildersleeve. 35 of 92. Gildersleeve, 35.
Okay, now when we press the G, we got into part of that tree, so we have to press the left arrow.
My collection, expanded, 92 items.
Then press the down arrow.
00031121391. 1 of 92.
So
tap
as you know,
2.
That particular indication is March 11th of 2000. That's when this particular CD was burned. And that's fine, except that sometimes you get two or three people sending you CDs with that particular information. You may have a person sending you two CDs on the same day. And obviously, if you're making your own CD catalog up and you've got two CDs you made on the same day, you have the same information. So it doesn't help you very much. But since this is a standardized program, all you have to do is press F2.
Edit box.
And now you're in an edit box. So you can edit that title to make it much more sensible. And that brings up another problem in the sense that if you edit that to change the CD label in the catalog, then the label won't fit. If you put that particular CD in, the label won't match and you think you may have the wrong CD in it. So what I would suggest is leave the original label there and just type in some other explanatory information. For example, something about what the CD may contain, something about where the CD is located. In fact, in my situation here, I've got several of these three-ring binders with the plastic pages that the CD slide into. So in this case, you could put BK1 for book 1 as it is on the shelf, and then PG, whatever the page is that this particular CD is in, and then what corner, you know, is it top left, top right, bottom left, bottom right. And then, of course, if it would be the CDs are facing up, it would be page 1 or 3 or 5, the odd number pages. If you flip it over the other way, it's an even number page, so we'd keep track of the page number that way. So not only can you catalog the CD just by putting the CD in the drive and cataloging it, but you can also change that catalog feature to where you can keep your catalog up to date when you change locations of CDs, like you want to put all your OTR CDs in one place and all your book CDs in another place and all your classical music CDs and all your country music CDs. However you decide to change your location, it's very easy to go back into that list that you've created and change information to detect that. Also, obviously, many people just can't keep up with all the CDs that they're sent. So let's open up this one CD that we happen to be on right now. We'll press Escape to stop renaming that.
Preview. 00031121391. 1 of 92.
We'll press the right arrow.
00031121391. 1 of 92.
Tab. Let's see why we can't.
00032500442. 2. List view.
Here we go.
No selected item. Upon test pre-broadcast 460,609 operation crossroads.log. 1 of 119.
Okay, there's 119 programs on there. That's a test recording there. Now, let's say you never heard that particular recording before because you just got buried in other things. You can listen to that recording, and again, by going with F2, you can give that particular recording a number as to the audio quality, or maybe it's incomplete, and maybe the commercials are missing, or something else is missing. Or when they transferred from the disc, they missed a part or whatever it is you want to put in there. So it's very flexible from that standpoint. And I won't get into any more of that. One of the things that you'll see on their webpage when you look at that is there's a feature there that if you loan a CD to somebody, you can simply go into that particular CD you've loaned and put information there about who you loaned it to and the date that you loaned it to them. I find it far less confusing if you just open up a new file with that person's name, and every time you send them a CD, you obviously have to copy that unless you send them a CD that they already have that you don't want anymore. And you simply make that CD copy or give them one out of your collection that you don't want anymore and just catalog that under their name, and then you know you sent them that particular CD. And there again, when you get into the actual name of the CD, you can use a F2 to open up a edit menu to rename it or just add to it, and you can add the date that you sent that to them, so you keep track of it that way. It's a very, very good program. Well, let's do that. Let's open up a new item here with Control N as you normally would.
Button. Why yes. Dialog. Confirmation. Save changes to outer.wcl. Default. Button. And no.
No.
Untitled when catalog light. List view. No selected item.
Now, it said no because, of course, I changed it, but I changed it back, and, of course, Windows doesn't know that, so it thought you made a change. Now we're into this new one. I can actually save it with the file name.
F. New. A. Menu closed. Menu closed. Edit box. L-A-R-R-Y. Larry.wcl when catalog light.
Okay.
List view.
Wonder where that name came from. Okay, so let's label a CD. Let's press F11 to label one.
Button. Okay. Dialog. Add volume. Select a volume for adding to the catalog. Externally, checkbox. Extract description for MP3, HTML, etc. Checked. Checkbox. Scan archives contents. Checked. Checkbox. Retrieve audio CD track names from the internet. Checked. Default. Button. OK. Button. Cancel.
Okay,
so catalog.com.
Here's a typical dialog box now, and I did this before and used the external hard drive E that I have, but I think instead we're going to up arrow to the CD drive.
Button. OK.
Well, I didn't do that. Did I go back here? I'm
checkbox.
On default.
Checked. Checkbox. Checkbox. Checked.
On.
Retrieve audio CD. Button. Combo box. Check. Checkbox. Combo box.
Okay. I pressed the shift tab to get back to the combo box, and I pressed the control key to stop that. Well, up arrow to the D.
0504200921D. 3 of 4.
Okay, now we have to shift tab back to the OK button because we haven't done that yet.
Button. Button. Okay.
Okay, I did that twice. Before we go any further, I wanted to go back and talk about that dialog box a bit more. If you review that, you'll see that many items are checked, and they're pretty much self-explanatory. If you are doing an audio CD, and again, obviously not to beat this into the ground, but if you're doing an audio CD, many times the audio CD doesn't contain any information except track numbers, and you can put the titles in if you want to take the time to do that. At other times, you can get information from the internet. In fact, I have a cassette here, an Anne Murray cassette that I put on a CD as an audio CD, and it went on the internet and got the information from the database. It was funny. But obviously, if you're doing an MP3 CD, it won't do those things. And if you're doing a mixed CD, like let's say you're doing a backup CD and have MP3 files and spreadsheets and other things in there, it wouldn't know about that. So you can leave those checked and it doesn't do any harm. But instead of wasting time on checking and checking and running back and forth, it really doesn't matter. As long as you want it to do what it's checked to do, it doesn't matter if it's in a position it can't do that, it just won't do it. Obviously, just like when you're in a word processor with an empty document, you can't cut, you can't paste, you can't copy because there's nothing there to do. And it's the same in this case. When you get on the internet to look for a CD title and you've got a spreadsheet, a CD on your drive, it won't do any good. Now, if you have JAWS version 6, it'll give you a percentage as it scans the CD, but let's just push the space bar now to
space.
Start scanning.
Dialogue.
There is a CD
scanning
in
the volume.
Drive.
Scanning the volume. Default. Button. Cancel. WinCatalog.com. Button. Cancel. Larry.WCL WinCatalog Lite. List view. No selected items.
And it's running right now. And it just, I think it just finished. Maybe we'll open this up and see what's in there. It should tell you when it finishes. So we'll let it go and see if it'll tell you when it's finished. I can hear the CD drive whirring in the background. Should be done.
Break broadcast 030605.mp3. 1 of 3.
Okay, only three different things in there, so there weren't very many on there to do, but it did in about 10 seconds. It doesn't take very long. Now, if you have that CD in there.
Preview.
I think.
0504200921. 1 of 1.
I never
Depth
do this,
two.
But I think you can play that some way.
List view. Break
Maybe
preview.
Not.
List
I
guess preview.
You can in the more elaborate program, you can actually play it. And I think in the more elaborate program, you can even take audio clips of each CD and store them on your hard drive, so you can play a very small amount of each one as you get to it, so you know what's on it without having to do that, without having
Studio
to have a CD in there.
Custom con-
so that's the story on that. Let's see if there's something else. The help system is not particularly good.
Larry.WCL in Catalog Light.
We're going to press Alt-H for
H.
Help here.
Help topics. Separator. Register. Dialogue. Activate. Dialogue. Separator. About WinCatalog Lite. Dialogue. About WinCatalog. Activate. Register. Help topics.
It didn't say help topics. I pressed up arrow to get to that, so we'll press enter on help topics. I don't think this goes on the web to get your help as it does in many
WinCatalog
other programs.
WinCatalog Lite help system. Preview. Loading page. Load done. System requirements. Depth 1.
Now let's just do the system requirements. Another good thing about this program I haven't mentioned
Quick
yet.
Quick start. System.
So we'll press F6 to read that.
Loading page. Looking for visible line. Visible line found. Load done two links. System requirements DPC with a 486 processor or higher DOS Windows 95 98 2000 VNT 4.0 XP Note Windows 95 or NT 4.0 users may need an updated version of Linkcom to 32.dll library and Microsoft Internet Explorer 4.0 or higher. See link Microsoft site for the system update information. This page last modified January 07, 2002, bottom.
So, of course, the program has been modified since then, but not that particular help system, because all it says is system requirements, and they have not changed. So even though the program is 2 years newer than that particular webpage is still will run the newest program that's available, which is the November 2004 program. We'll press escape to get out of that. And I don't know, let's switch over to JAWS 6.2 because that does give you a percentage. And we can show you, I'll do the external hard drive here and we'll show you that just in conclusion. All right, now let's go back to WinCatalog Lite here.
Alt tab, Mary, WCL, WinCatalog Lite, Mary, W.
I like British English, as you can probably tell. Let's press F11 again.
F11, add volume dialog, OK button.
And around the OK button, let's shift tab back up. Or actually, we can press tab twice.
Tab, graphics 778 combo box 0504200921D, 304, external E.
OK, we'll tab, shift tab back to OK.
Shift tab, OK button. Space 4%. Scanning the volume dialog. Scanning the volume cancel button.
This is an 80 gig hard drive, and it's got, I suppose, about 35 megs on it. And this
26%.
Is a 2.2 gigahertz machine, so yours
preview,
might be
external close,
quite this fast.
202.
It's done. See, it doesn't take very long at all to do a hard drive. So no matter what you put in there, just it's finished before you can even take a deep breath and think about taking the CD back out again. So we will go to the right arrow here.
Level 1, external opened, 4 items. Level 2, dig lamps are closed, 1 to 4.
Okay, we'll open that one.
Dig lamps are opened, 42 items.
Okay, well, down arrow.
Level 3, audible, 1 to 42. Audio closed, 2 of 42.
Open that.
Audio opened, 25 items.
And we will jump to the particular one I want with the letter L.
L, level 4, Larry, 13 of 25.
Okay.
Larry, 13, list closed, 14, Larry, 13 of 25,
I press
tab, list view, not selected, access lock, 1 of 36, access watch, ANDA, copy, Mac, MP3, 3 plus 01, MP3, 3 plus 08, MP3.
So there again, we're jumping 4 at a time, which we shouldn't be doing, we're back to that problem again, but anyway, if you're looking for something there, you can see how easy it is to find it, and that's basically...
Getting started, listening to podcasts, MP3.
We're going to get out of there, but that's essentially how you do it. Now, when I close this off, it's going to ask if I want to save this particular entry. It does not save them automatically. When you put in a CD or whatever you're doing, it will not save it when you're through and put another one in. You have to save it with Control-S just as you would in a standard Windows environment. And if for some reason you don't want to do it, you just say no. But to back up and cover one thing I kind of glossed over there, instead of going into that rigmarole and figuring out who you loaned a CD to, most of what I do, I just send the CD out purposely and it's gone. I just give the person I wanted to have the CD a copy of it. So all you do is just create a file with that particular person's name in there, and whenever you send them a CD, you catalog it just as you would catalog your own CDs and send it off to them, and then 6 months later you say, did I send so-and-so that particular thing? You just look in their name and look in that particular list to see if you sent it to them, and if you did, it's there, and if you didn't, it's not there. We can show you the find command, but there's no point to that. It's essentially a typical Windows find command. Works exactly the same way, so that works just fine. And most everything else that you do is just straight vanilla work. It just doesn't have to have any special keystrokes or jumping around to find out where the cursor is or anything. It's just a wonderful program. And when I think about the literal hundreds of hours I spent cataloging cassette tapes by typing in each title one at a time, and cataloging the CDs the same way, typing in each title one at a time. This is just an amazing program, and certainly, as you know, the price is right. Incidentally, I found this program by going on Google and just typing in Windows Catalog Program, and I'd seen it a number of months before I bought the program. I thought, that can't be any good. It's too cheap. Must be just a hunk of junk, but it really is a great program, as I hope you've seen by now. And, of course, I've got to go back and review the fact that I told you that external hard drive was an 80-gig hard drive and had 25 megs on it. I meant 25 gigs. I'm sure you knew that by now. But thought I'd better clarify that before we close. This is Dick Wamser, and my email address is snap, S-N-A-P-P, at computerconnect.net. If I left out something, and I probably did, or if you need some more information, I'd be more than happy to give that to you. Y'all have a good evening, a good afternoon, or morning, whatever you're having at the moment, and hopefully we'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Okay, thank you very much, Dick. That was a great review. Got a couple of voicemails here.
Hi, Larry, this is Shane Davis calling. I've been a listener to Blind Cultist for few months now and really enjoy your shows. It's inspirational, and especially when you do reviews of computer software and the sightseeing tours, especially. And also, I really enjoy the guide dog present things you do on guide dogs, etc. Keep up the great work, and I will continue to listen. Thank you.
And that's going to do it for this edition, number 64, of Blind Cool Tech. I'm Larry Skutkun, your host for the podcast. And if you would like to comment on this show, or any show, you can leave a comment on our audio line at 206-984-9203. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our website is aph.org/tech/bct.htm. Y'all have a great one, and we will see you next time.